I don't know where you're from or where you're going, but you're in the right spot right now. We're going to get going, and it's a beautiful day, a beautiful sermon by Pastor Will today. I'm looking forward to that. And the music, unbelievable. Let's stand and praise and worship. Thank you.
I will say we're about to sing Alive in You. And as I'm just going over the lyrics and in practicing this song, it so rings true every single time. And even though we do sing it a lot, each time I feel like I hear something different, God saying something different to me. And I hope that you feel that way as well. So while we're singing it, it doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, whether we are rejoicing in the best of times or whether we're going through a really broken time in our life, he is always faithful. It does not matter what we're going through, even how we're thinking about the situation. He is always faithful. He remains faithful. And he causes those things that are not, he causes those to be so. If we allow him to just infiltrate and just consume us, and make us alive in those areas that we feel like we are not. We have everything we need already. And so anyway, sing this with me, with us, and worship.
You
no matter what we're going through, Lord, in our brokenness, Lord, you make us alive. We're so thankful, Lord, for your leading, for your guiding, for your presence, Lord, for your peace, for your Holy Spirit. Lord, for you, how you surround us so sweetly, Lord, with songs of joy and songs of deliverance and songs of peace, songs of love. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. We love you so much, Lord.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. I've tasted and seen the sweetest.
Bye. calling and your giving and your forgiving and your acceptance. Great are you, Lord, and we'll never comprehend it, even dwelling in it and abiding in it and living in it and carrying out your truth in our lives. Thank you for the people that you give us and surround us with to remind us of your truth. You give us everything we need. Everything we need, God. Great are you. We love you. We worship you today. Thank you.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love.
be seated. Good morning. How are you? Just good or real good? Good. Pastor Buren should be real good. He happens to was able to get away for a last minute deep sea fishing trip. And so that's real good when those kind of things happen and you're not totally planning on it. And I forgot my water and I already want to swallow, so I'm going to come down here and get it. I received something in the mail today that was pretty awesome to me. By the way, if you haven't already filled out your connection card, you should be doing that. Lots of things to sign up for, and I'm going to talk about a couple of those, so make sure you haven't checked them all off yet, but we'll get to it. But what I received in the mail was a resolution from the state of Georgia. This, I know you can't read it, but he'll give you a closer view in just a moment. But basically what it says is that the Doc Holliday Barbecue and Blues Festival is recognized now as the State of Georgia Smoke Brisket Championship, and that Eagles Way is a major part of that. So that's something to, and that isn't something that is just for this year. That is something that is, until we decide we're not doing it any longer, that we have. It's a recognition, and so it's a way that we can get more teams to want to come and be involved with that. Some of you are going, I didn't know we were involved in the Doc Holliday Barbecue Championship. Well, you are. Eagles Way is a partner in pulling it off. Our responsibility is the barbecue portion of it, even though there's lots of other things that will be going on. So I will be giving you more detailed information on that because I need volunteers for that. But before I give you detailed information on that, I have to go to our public safety cookout, which is next Sunday evening. How many are planning on being there? Oh, more than last week. That is wonderful. Okay, and I need twice as many as that. I have 20 people that have signed up and said they were willing to volunteer, and I'm only a little bit nervous because I need about 50 people to have signed up to volunteer. There are three time slots. There's the setup crew, there's the serving crew, the cleanup crew, and then the kids games crew. So you can sign up for any of those. I said three. There's three time slots, but there's four areas. So I will be, if you have already signed up, you don't have to put your name on the paper again. We've got you. I will be contacting you this week if you already signed up and you haven't detailed a time slot so that I can make sure we got everybody covered. So it's a good thing. Being. I heard on the radio coming to church this morning, I was about half the time probably I listened to 104.7, and it was a lady that was doing a testimonial, and her testimonial was all about being who God has called her to be rather than just doing. And all of her life she had been doing, but she hadn't been being. I said, she must be watching the podcast or listening to the podcast or watching the videos on our app or something, because it was right up with where we're at and what's kind of going on in the world. If you want a title for today, my title is Giving of Your Body. Giving of Your Body. And the text that we're going to start with is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll begin reading in verse 12. It says, dear brothers and sisters, that's you, by the way, just making sure you knew that, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. So what I'm doing this morning, and I'm honoring Pastor Buren by speaking for him while he's gone. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work. And live peaceably with each other. It means amongst yourselves. Live peaceably. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. and be patient with everyone. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good, and as Pastor Buren would say, pick the bones out. Let go of what is not good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Okay? We have gotten confused and we're learning it differently now. The part there that says God will make this happen, we have taken as God is going to do all of that other stuff that we already read already. See, the first seven verses were things that we are to do. Okay? Not what God is to do. And we read it as God will make this happen, so that's all just going to happen. No, what God is going to make happen is he's going to make your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless when you do the things previous. Do the things that God has called you to do, and you will be who you're supposed to be in him, and you will be whole. For God is the one who calls you, for God is faithful in doing this. I'm going to share with you this morning a kind of a version or a similar message that I shared at summer camp to the students. And the topic at summer camp was spirit, soul, and body. And really went into some in-depth things with them about that. But with our body, one of the things that Pastor Buren said on the very first night that a lot of us have heard, but I don't know if we've all remembered it and caught it, and that is, we are a spirit that has a soul and it lives in this body. I want you to say that with me. We are a spirit. Say it again. We are a spirit that has a soul that lives in this body. Okay? And that's huge. Because all three of those are critically important. Your spirit, that is who you are with God. We're going to read a little bit more about that in just a minute. Your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And your body, your physicalness, the doing part of it. If one of those is not functioning properly, you are not whole and complete, like we just read. And that's huge, because that would be one-third of you not whole. If you have three, if it takes three parts to make it a cake, let's just take it, say it takes flour and it takes water and it takes egg. I know a cake maker and she puts more ingredients in it than that. But those three things, if you take away, you can make some form or fashion with that of a cake. You take one of them away and you don't have a cake. You have goo, or you have blah. If you have your body and you have your spirit, but you don't have your soul, you're insane. If you lose your mind, will, and your emotions, they will probably take you and put you in a sane asylum. Your spirit may still be intact. Okay, your body is still there. But without your mind, if it's lost, some of you are going, I know somebody that, I'm just, don't go there. We're talking about yourself. You're insane. If you have your soul, okay, and you have your spirit, but you don't have your body, you're a vegetable. You have no motion. You can't do anything. So the body is very important. You're going to be just somewhere. Even though it's amazing what they're doing today with people that are communicating and doing different things. Somebody was telling me about a quadriplegic experiment that they're doing, that they now are connecting their body to a skeleton, and it's their mind is beginning to teach it how to move those parts that they've never even done before. That's pretty amazing. If you have your body and you have a soul, but your spirit is not connected, then you're like everyone in this world that's without God. All three have got to be connected. When you have your body, and you have your soul, and you have your spirit, then you're a complete disciple of Christ. You may not be completed. You may still be moving towards perfection. But there's the wholeness that is there. When all three of those are functioning the way God has called them to function. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Why do we stand when we sing and worship? It's a way of honoring God. Why do some people raise their hands? It's a way of surrendering. It's a tangible way of honoring God. Why do we sing? Why do we speak? It's a way of tangibly using the things that God has given us to honor him. See, your body is used for what you do. Okay? The body portion is what you do, whether you're going to make or create something with your hands, whether you are assembling this person and bringing those things together, it's what you do. Your body is part of what you say.
This little thing right here, it's called a tongue.
Now, I could spend all day just on that one little part. So that's a total another day. We're not going to go there. But part of your body is not only what you do, it's what you say. And the third thing about your body, it's where you go. Where these things take me. Am I in places I'm supposed to be? Or am I in places I'm not supposed to be? Am I in that place at the right time? When service started this morning, I looked around. I'm going, ooh, there's some people that are not where they are supposed to be. Glad to see some of you realize that and made your way here before the worship was over. Looks better out here. But it's important that what you do and what you say and where you go is honoring and representing who you are supposed to be in Christ. The Word of God says that you are joined to Christ. You're joined to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Think about that for a second. Should a man take his body, which is a part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. If you are joined to God, if you have said, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to be Lord of my life. I am going to serve him. You are one with him. That is the reason that Dr. Ralph can get up here and say, you are God. It is not because we're saying we don't need God Almighty, we're God. No, we're saying we acknowledge that we are joined together as one, Christ and I. And so he gives us the ability to then do and to be who he is if we walk out and do those things. Well, you just don't know me, Pastor Will. I got this going on in my world, and I got this going on in my world, and this part of it is not right. Listen, I understand. It's called human beings. We have humanness to us. And we have to work through and we have to process those things. But that doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge the God inside of us. When Pastor Ralph first used that terminology, I didn't like it. I said, that's going to confuse people. People are going to think that we're saying they're gods and we don't need the God. But you know what I found out? It was, we have been telling people for at least 28 years that I know of, that I have been here, that God is inside of you and you're more than an overcomer and you can do it and all of those things. And we've been preaching it and saying it, and people have not been rising to the level that they are rising to now when somebody said, you are God. It is still the acknowledgement that it is God inside of us. But when we grasp hold, that when we are joined with him, we are him. Come here, Jennifer. This is my beautiful bride. And we are one. We're not joined to anyone else but her and I. If you get on to her, you got me to tend to. If you get on to me, you got her to tend to. You'd be better off getting on to her. I'm just teasing. Ron, you get picked on. You're sitting on the front row.
Used to it.
If I'm joined to Christ, whew. Y'all know Ron. How can he be Christ? Listen, I could have grabbed any hand out here.
It's okay.
You know
I'm
what?
Used to it.
And every one of every person would have had the same reaction because you know one thing or something about somebody, but it's the Christ portion of it that we're joined to in each and every person. And And then when you hold on to that aspect of it, what happens when you hold on to something? It vibrates. Think about some of these talks and teachings that you've had. When you hold on to a vibration or an energy, what does it do? It begins to grow. And it gets stronger. And it gets more powerful. And so as you hold on to that and you grasp your being, that you are the person who is joined to the Lord and is one spirit with Him. Verse 18 says, run from sexual sin. No other sin can clearly affect the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. You have to honor God with your body. This is not communion day. That was just to cover up my prop and for you to go, I wonder what's underneath that table. This is not that heavy. It's a brick. It's a paver brick. Forgot to buy them yesterday, so I showed up at 8 o'clock at Lowe's this morning, picked it up. And we're going to allow this brick to represent sin. And what are the effects that sin have on your body? This particular sin is going to be hatred. See, the word even talks a lot about hatred. He compares hatred to murder. Chris, do you mind helping me? If you would, just stand right here and hold this brick. But if you would, I'd like for you to hold it in this hand, and I'd like you to hold it right there for me. I did hear that. Just keep it right there for a moment. Hatred will wear on you. If you're angry with somebody, that anger, as you begin to vibrate, what does it do? It begins to grow, and it gets stronger and stronger and heavier. And heavier, and it's a weight. What about jealousy? Wanting what other people want to the point that it begins to tear you up inside. Now, the other day, my mom got a new mattress. And I wanted that mattress. My back has been hurting a little bit. I knew mine. I had two pieces of plywood stuck up under this little pad trying to keep my... And you know what? I was just grateful. You know what ended up happening? I got me a new mattress. Been sleeping on it for a couple of days. And that wasn't jealousy. But there are things that people are jealous over. How's hatred doing for you? Can you hold on to some jealousy for me?
Sure.
Out here. Sins in our lives come in so many different ways. They creep in like unforgiveness. Well, I didn't do anything. I just don't want to forgive him right now. The Word of God says, forgive so that you can be forgiven. So not forgiving means what? You won't be forgiven. Well, I'm not mad at anybody. I don't hold anything against anybody. What about yourself? Is there areas that you've not forgiven yourself?
I'm done.
The weights have beset you. I did pick Chris because I knew he would go for a point and then he has no problem letting it go. At summer camp, poor John Henry, he was holding him like this and he'd get down like this and get him, and I'd raise him back up and he'd be almost trembling trying to hold those things. What about lust, sexual immorality? Maybe your computer is what you need to get rid of. Maybe it's some of the places that you go. Pastor Will, those are big things. I don't have troubles with any of those things. I am so glad. Do you worry? God puts some of those same sins all in the same category. And they become weights. That we take. And we put them on our back. Little Jackson Bush picked this up at summer camp. And he went. Because it was so heavy. And you know what? Especially if I get the other strap on, I can handle that. And these weights get on us and they get attached to us. And they begin to take a toll on your body. The longer I wear this, the more I'd probably be going like this a little bit more. The more I'd be trying to get it up higher, shuffling and moving it around, jostling it, worried with it, messing with it. See, what happened was, is you had a pack on your back just like this when you came to Christ. And you, when you accepted him as Lord and Savior, whether you realize it or not, you took that weight, you took that backpack that was affecting your body, and you threw it at the feet of the cross. And you laid it there. But you know what happens? Every now and then, we get to thinking we got it going pretty good. Doing all right. Wow, that looks like it might be fun just a little bit. And we go and we begin to pick it back up again. And that's what the Word talks about when it says that you need to leave it at the cross. Things that are going on in your body is because of your sin. But everything that is going on in bodies that is contrary to what God intended is because of sin. I want you to hear that. We have sickness and disease in this world because Adam sinned. Otherwise, it would have been perfect, right? In the Garden of Eden, everything would have been just exactly the way it was supposed to be. We deal with alcoholism or drunk drivers. We deal with murderers. We deal with gang situations. We deal with jealousy and hatred because of sin. I want to remind you, you are joined with Christ. If I sin against Jennifer with sexual immorality, doesn't mean I'm still not there, but there is now a separation. Something that has come between us. And it takes a toll on the body. Worry and stress will take a toll on your body. What do you need to do with sin in your life? If you're here today and you have never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then whether you realize it or not, you got a backpack on your back. And all God wants you to do is to lay it at His cross. Or you've done that before, but you found yourself and you've picked it back up. Or you've sinned and you're carrying a weight that you haven't received that forgiveness for. Years ago, we had a ministry here, and very similar to the counseling ministry that we do now or have now, but anybody remember Life Enrichment? Life Enrichment was, I didn't see very many hands, people may not remember. But basically, it was a way of going through and finding out what it is that you needed to deal with in your life, things that you had done. And for me, the number one biggest thing I had to do was learn how to forgive myself. It stemmed from pride. I felt like I shouldn't have done that, and I was mad at myself because I did do it. And I was keeping myself from being who God wanted me to be because I wasn't willing to be just simply forgive myself. So whatever you're dealing with in your life, whether you need to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time, whether you need to rededicate Him as Lord because you've walked away or you have picked up that burden completely. When I first handed that first brick to Chris, it wasn't too bad, was it, Chris? Just that one hand, that one brick for just a short amount of time, you could do that. But it weighs. Wears you out. If everyone would stand. And what I feel to do this morning is just open this altar up. And you could be one of those three things. You're accepting Christ as the first time as your Lord and Savior. Or you need to rededicate your life. Or you just know that you've got sin that's either unconfessed or you need to forgive yourself. Then I just want you to come and stand across the front right here. And someone is going to come and pray with you. take that as a good thing. I take that as you are in right standing with God. That you're serving Him. That you're giving of your body for service. You know, giving of your body's not always fun. How many exercise? How many people exercise in here? Some forms of exercise are fun. Sometimes it just gets to be work and hard. We had a dozen people yesterday. Half of them were at Rushed in Hope working. The other half were at the church cooking. It's on the third Saturday of each month. But you know what? We were about four or five short. I mean, I got to get up on Saturday? On occasion? Room this size? You'd only have to do it once a year if everybody committed a little bit of time. Next Sunday night, we got a cookout. Out at City Park. We're going to have pulled pork barbecue sandwiches. They're going to be good. Baked beans and coleslaw. I want everybody here to be, come get a free plate. If everybody's here, it won't even seem like work. Because it'll take no time at all. And there's going to be police officers and their families. And first responders, fire and rescue. And their families that have been serving and giving to you for years. And this is just one way that you can give back. You can say thank you. Wouldn't it be awesome if they had to shake 75 people's hands that told them thank you? That'd be pretty cool. And you know what? Because of all that's transpired in our world, they may be a little apprehensive to come out. But the ones that do, you know what we're going to do? We're going to love them. And we're going to thank them. God's a good God. You may be seated. If you have not been coming on Wednesday nights to Intentional Mind, I encourage you to do that. There are four more sessions each Wednesday night. On First Wednesday, it will be normal First Wednesday as far as worship, but it will be Dr. Ralph that will be speaking after that. So we're just going right on through. So if you usually come to First Wednesday, I encourage you still to come. If you have not been coming to the other parts of Intentional Mind, you ought to think about it. It's pretty awesome. It is. I was kind of curious as to whether or not it was actually going to be a little different than what he has done at the School of Positive Thinking, and it has been, in my opinion. It's been very good. Our ushers, if you will begin receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms, several of you write a check and drop it in the box. Several of you use cash and you put it in an envelope. If you want to use the church app, you're welcome to do that. You can download the app or you can text this number, Eagles Way Church, to that number, and it will get you to what's called Push Pay, or you can do it at the website. Over half of you now are giving online that way. And so it has been a good thing. Been a good thing for the church. We've seen more giving, more bodies, different family units that are giving. And we normally take a dip in the summer to where we're trying to figure out which bill to pay and which bill not to pay. And we have not had to do that this summer. Isn't God good? All the time He's good. Doesn't mean we have money pouring out our ears or anything, but God is good. You good?
Yes.
Good. Giving of your body. You are complete when spirit, soul, and body are in unison, serving and worshiping Him. So I'm going to ask that you stand, and we're going to end today with worshiping Him. Father, Lord, I thank you that, Lord, we get to come to your house. Lord, I thank you for these tithes and these offerings and these alms. Lord, use them to the furtherment of your kingdom. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Is in your hands. This whole world may hold you down, but it can never drown you out. I'm not merely flesh and bone. I was made for something.